B-Pod Studios.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast, I'm with Saz. Catch up. I think I'm big.
All right, hour two, DraftKings Over-Under Show. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. We're here until 9 o'clock today. We got all the rest of your championship games and semifinal games today, so we'll hit on those, and we'll talk with Eli Hershkovich coming up at 8:20 today from thelions.com. We'll discuss a few games with him coming up. So the Boston Parlay, Dan. Let's just one more time explain why parlays might not be the best bet for bettors in general.
Okay, so it is hard enough to win singular betting. It's almost impossible for new bettors without some sort of model or some sort of edge, advantage, I wouldn't say system, but some sort of, service, RAS, Hitman, that type of thing, that beats the line and absolutely crushes it. It's basically impossible to win, you know. Just going off your sports knowledge and picking games, unfortunately, is not a sustainable model for winning in sports betting. It's just not. I know people will say it is and say, well, then you don't know me. But it's not a sustainable model. You might win for a little bit of period of time, but eventually you will give it back and you will lose that way. So when it's hard enough winning just betting singular games, and now you're adding multiple legs to it, every single time you add a leg, you're actually losing value on the bet, because your statistical probability of winning that bet goes down more significantly than your chances of winning. So every time you do that, you are actually costing yourself money in the long term when you parlay. And the only way you're not is when you have a plus EV situation. A plus EV situation means you beat the line on both legs. So if you beat the line on, let's say you do a two-team parlay and you beat the line two times, then yes, you have a plus EV parlay and you are doing well in that situation. With the exception of that rule, it is not a good way to bet. You will not win long-term. I've known a million bettors. None of them win long-term betting parlays. Yes, there are the stories of some guys who win millions of dollars off your 2016, parlay. And yes, that can happen. It is also not going to happen to you.
Out of full transparency, I have hit some big parlays in my life, and I've definitely lost more parlays than I've won.
I would guarantee if you went over all the money you guys bet on parlays, even if you win one night, with $5,000 here, $6,000 here, whatever, if you go over all the money you bet on parlays, you would if you are an experienced bettor, not someone who's new, but an experienced bettor, you are almost guaranteed to be down historically and probably down pretty big betting parlays.
So I can admit this. In 2007, when the Patriots were undefeated, the Patriots in the over hit 11 weeks in a row. And I did it. I followed it. And then you know what happened? It stopped hitting. And I kept betting it. So, yeah, might have hit the Patriots in the over, but in the long run, it's just, the point is that if you make one bet a year and you want to parlay, fine. Just know how much of a long shot it is.
Yeah.
If you do it consistently, yeah, you might win here and there. You might have some good weeks, but long term, you're not going to be it's just not successful.
Yeah. If you want to bet like $5, $10, you want to do it, go have fun, do whatever. I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But again, if you want to do this and you want to actually win some money and you don't want to just like make the game entertaining for yourself and your goal is to kind of win, betting parlays is not a profitable situation. It's just not. You're not long term. You are not going to be beating the line enough where you're going to be put in a plus EV situation. That plus EV parlays just ain't going to happen.
So to be honest with you, I think the last parlay I took, Dan, might have been the Super Bowl. I took the under, which lost, and I took the Chiefs. So again, just to tell you, I don't do it. I used to do it very often because I was just throwing money around and having fun and, ooh, I really like these teams and let's see what happens. That's exactly what it is. You're throwing money against the wall hoping it sticks, and you might hit one, but you're probably going to lose more of them. I don't do it. I actually prefer to do – this is, to your point, Dan, this is hard enough. Just picking a side. So now you're going to do it twice? Oh, and you need multiple outcomes? Oh, it's just – the percentages, they're really low. So looking at it, and not just so much the Boston parlay, but let's look at it as one side of it's the Bruins, the other side's the Celtics.
Okay.
The Celtics are off a cover versus Portland. They obviously lost three in a row before that. I think Portland is 28th in the league in defensive efficiency. So I'm not taking much away from the win, except for the fact that they closed out a double-digit lead. So now they play Atlanta, who won last night and is now on a back-to-back, and they've played three games in four nights. It's not ideal spot for Atlanta.
Not ideal. Celtics open 5.5. They're down 4.5.
Money's coming in on Atlanta, huh?
Yes, Atlanta's definitely going to be the sharp side. Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys, and this is going to be kind of a tough reality for Celtics fans right now. People don't think that you're very good right now. Not saying that you're not one of the best teams in the league, but right now people don't think you're playing at a very high level. They're going to downgrade you a lot, especially the sharp market, the guys who you know, run the models, do the bets, make sure, you know, actually set the lines, care about that stuff. And, you know, a lot of bettors are going to sit there and say, the Celtics are 4.5 against Atlanta today. And yeah, start a 7-game road trip. I guess a team that is kind of picking it up, playing well, and to be honest with you, you're not. A win against Portland doesn't really change that. A team who has really struggled defensively. And again, you didn't, I don't know, did you feel they blew out Portland? They did, and they let it back in again. Now they held on this time.
They handled Portland. But I'm trying to say Portland sucked and didn't play Lillard in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Portland is not exactly
the same. 28th in defensive efficiency in the league.
And again, team that's trying to tank. Atlanta's pushing for a playoff spot.
They're the eighth seed right now. And Trae Young's a great player who believe it or not, as great as he can shoot, 11 assists a game. I mean, come on now. That's a guy who puts up a ton of points, who can actually pass the basketball. That's something you don't. I think he's one of the next rising stars, if he's not already.
He's a fun shooter. He is just not good enough.
His size is an issue.
He's just not good enough. He's just not.
He had 28-9 last night.
He's very inconsistent.
How many minutes did he play, though?
He's very, very inconsistent. Look, I personally won't be betting the Celtics on this road trip, with the exception of maybe Houston, Utah, certain situations where I feel comfortable about betting them in there. But I think this road trip is huge for this team. Massive.
Oh, yeah.
And so, to me, I'm very interested to see how they respond tonight coming off that Portland rebound.
All right, let's talk to Ben. He's in Westboro. What's going on, Ben?
What's going on, boys? Morning. Love the show. Just wanted to let you guys know about a parlay I did that went against your words of advice. Took one of my $50 bonus bets, did a single game parlay on Lakers Raptors last night. It's like over the point total, Lakers to win, six different prop bets, and I was Anthony Davis hitting a three-pointer away from a nice $63,000 payout. That was the one thing that didn't hit on it for a $50 bonus bet.
I know, but you lost.
So you went 5-1.
5-1
and lost.
And that's the point.
I went 7-1.
7-1. Even worse.
7-1. Yeah.
Killer. Absolute killer. I was devastated.
And think about it. If you put $100 on all those games, right? So you would have won you would have won $590. Instead you lost nothing. Instead you lost. Yeah. So yeah, this is what we're trying to tell. Thank you, Ben, for clarifying that. Parlays are not great.
Look, again,
$63,000.
Nothing against Ben. I'm sorry you didn't win, man. But like this is kind of like the reality is there are so many. Oh man, I was so close to this type of parlay stories. That's the nature of it, man. That's the nature of it.
Another caller here, and we got to pull up these lines here. Sean's in the car. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Another day in paradise with mobile betting here. So just looking at some numbers, do you guys think you know, obviously, I think I saw Edmonds and Poyer are going to be leaving potentially the Bills' defense. Do you think this value, like on the Jets, plus 250 to win the division if they end up getting, you know, a decent quarterback, or even the Dolphins at plus 425?
Interesting, and I just pulled up the odds, Dan. Buffalo's even money.
No, the Jets were plus 350 to win the division. At this point, it's shot. You're probably getting them at a worse price than honestly they should be at. And when Rodgers, I'm assuming they'll likely end up acquiring Rodgers. And if they do, that number is going to be even worse. Don't chase the number on the Jets division. It was plus 350 the other day. That's probably should be more around the 3-1 area. Again, Rodgers was bad last year. Let's call it how it is. It's more of a name factor. Now, I think Rodgers and the Jets will be actually a pretty good match. But again, you're betting upon the value of a name more than the actual value of what he brings to a team, especially if you're going off of last year's performance. I would probably tell you avoid that at all costs. You're already chasing a pretty bad number. I would probably stay away from that.
If I'm taking a stab at it, it's Miami. Tua's back. They locked up his fifth-year option. From what I've heard, they have put to bed the Tom Brady rumor. And it looks like they're going with Tua, and they're probably going to get a veteran backup that can play if Tua gets
hurt. That's a good decision.
They tried Teddy Bridgewater last year.
I would probably avoid Teddy Bridgewater. That would be my suggestion to the Miami Dolphins, is probably to avoid him. You know how I feel with Teddy.
Yeah. But if I'm looking at it, Miami might be because I don't think the Patriots are. And I don't love Buffalo. And Edmonds, by the way, is going to be a big time free agent. I don't know where he ends up.
Well, let's see what happens in the offseason. It's a little early, again, to start making these judgment calls. We haven't had the draft. We haven't had any sort of free agency, really, you know, with the exception of a couple, you know, quarterbacks and a couple, you know, guys who were cut moving. I would say let's wait and see what happens. You understand the bare bones of most teams right now, though. I will be honest with you, Joe. I disagree with the thought process on Miami. Again, how many games can you actually expect Tua Tagovailoa to be healthy for?
I don't. I'm just
so that's.
If it's, but I, it's not the Jets at 250. It's not to me. I don't love the Patriots at 650.
I'd rather go Pats than much rather take the Pats than I would take Miami or take, you know, the Jets. Now again, I want a better number than 650, and I think if you're patient, you will get a better number. But the fact is, I think you have a much better. I think there's much better value with the Patriots potentially winning division than either the Jets or the Bills. Again, value, not necessarily saying it will happen, but the value on the number, I think you have a much better value with the Patriots than you will with either Miami or the Jets.
We'll talk to Eli Hershkovitz in a minute here. I just wanted to bring this up. I just saw this. The Hawks, since the All-Star break, are shooting 42% from three. Okay. They're first in the NBA.
They're playing well, dude.
Bogdanovich is shooting 55% from three. Bay is shooting 49%.
Good addition from them at the deadline.
And Trae Young, 43%. Holy smokes. So what you have to watch for tonight is perimeter defense. If you can't defend the perimeter, oof. And I know they're on a back-to-back, but that's why the line movement's there. I think people are starting to see that they're getting hot.
Yep.
Which is not a good matchup for the Celtics, is all I'm saying. All right, we're going to talk to Eli Hershkovitz. He's from thelines.com. We'll get into more college basketball coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more of the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back Acker, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The DraftKings over on the show. Dan Lipschitz, Joe Murray. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Let's welcome in from thelines.com. He's our college basketball expert. His name's Eli Hershkovich. What's going on, Eli?
What's going on, boys? A couple things to say before we get started. All right. First of all, congrats on the launch of online sports betting in Massachusetts and obviously in Boston. But, you know, besides that positive note, I don't know if this has been discussed yet. So I think we got to just air it, discuss it to tip things off here. Dan's wife, I don't know if you know this, Joe, planned a baby shower on Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday! What are we doing?
But to be fair, I'm going to say this, Eli. To be fair, she had no idea what day it was, and they picked the date like 3 months ago. And by the way,
right.
I didn't know the day either. I was like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. It's not, you know, it's not during March Madness. Didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind 3 months ago.
That's a good nugget, Eli. That's a good nugget because I did not pick up on this.
Yeah, did not even cross my mind that day. Yeah,
there's going to be a baby shower, and are you going to be watching who the seeds are? Or are you going
to? I have not figured out exactly how to do this, but the answer will be yes. But however, I am in a bit of a pickle here.
I call it Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, a bit of a pickle. Yeah, the old Massachusetts grouper here. I'm in a bit of an issue, but I will figure it out, Eli. I'm diligently working on to resolve this issue.
We'll have to revisit this one next week, but it's Eli Hershkovich on with us right now. He's from thelines.com. I know you had a nice write-up regarding Massachusetts sports betting. We shared that with our listeners, and I know there's a bunch of promo codes you guys have. But I got two things for you right off the bat. One, the Indiana Hoosiers. I backed them last night. I wasn't feeling well first half, but boom, boom, boom. But today they get Penn State. And I'm going against the Hoosiers, and I know they're your team. So do you have?
Oh man!
So yeah. So tell me, talk me out of it. Why Indiana today and not Penn State?
So yeah, I have a Big Ten tournament future on the Hoosiers. I'm very invested in Indiana long term. I mentioned to you guys, I think before I got off the air last Saturday, that there was a good number out there on Indiana to win the title at 45-1 at one sports book. Granted, Xavier Johnson not coming back for the year. That was announced later after I was on with you guys, the starting point guard for Indiana entering the season. So that definitely changed things a little bit. But still, this team, to me, is the best player in college basketball. And, yes, that could be debated. But I do think Trayce Jackson-Davis is the best player in the country. But looking at this matchup against Indiana specifically, it does concern me a little bit, the Hoosiers' perimeter defense entering this game. And if you go back to when Indiana played Penn State back in early conference play. We're talking early January. I know there are some games and going back to 2022 for conference play, but we're talking early 2023 here, and Penn State smoked Indiana. But that was a much different Hoosiers team in terms of the way they were playing defensively. They weren't nearly as cohesive and as connected at that end of the floor. With that being said, Indiana's biggest liability is defending the three. They're giving up a bottom 105, so allowing within the top 105 of college basketball in terms of opponents' three-point scoring rate. Penn State has the second highest three-point scoring rate in college basketball, and they have the eighth most efficient three-point percentage overall, three-point efficiency when it comes to collective team field goal percentage from deep. So, again, that's a definite concern, but at the same time, Penn State has zero post defense. We're talking one of the most vulnerable post defenses again in the country. So, right, it's really going up for one team defensively that has a major concern and is a major liability where one team can really exploit them, and the same thing at the other end of the floor. But I do think Indiana, again, defensively, and this isn't a Penn State team that's going to also pressure you, which is where Indiana can get into trouble. We saw that with Maryland in the first half, some careless turnovers that really cost the Hoosiers transition defense. So I do think Indiana covers today. I do think Indiana pulls this one out. But I understand, again, the angle that you're going with Penn State for sure.
Eli, let's talk about another game today that I think is going to be, well, at least is on everyone's mind, and that's the Big 12 championship with Texas and Kansas today. Kansas right now minus 1.5 in this game. I was very large on Texas last night against TCU. I did not have my best day, but Texas saved me a little bit. What are your thoughts on this game? I got a nice future on Texas to win the Big 12 title, plus 350. Am I playing the role of a hedge clipper today and hedging off? What are your thoughts here?
No, I wouldn't hedge it, and I'm not the kind of person that, again, it all depends on the stake, right? And I know you know this, so I'm not talking to somebody that doesn't understand how to go about things in, you know, with the final game of a conference tournament feature or whatever kind of feature. But I really wouldn't hedge this feature here with Texas. I tweeted this out earlier this morning. I really think this is a game changer, Dan, because we both have futures on Texas to win it all. And
yep.
I talked to you on Tuesday, and I you asked me, or the guy you're doing the show with asked me, would I bet Texas, or am I as sold as Texas as I was going back to the preseason when I bet them to win it all? And I said no. But watching the last two games, and it has nothing to do with the result. It's not like I'm score-oriented. You guys know I'm not like that. It's more about the performance and also lineups. When Timmy Allen was out last night for Texas, and that gave me a bit of pause, even though you had Eddie Lampkin being done for the year for TCU, leaving the program,
for
a major loss for the – yeah, huge loss for the Horned Frogs at both ends of the floor, one of the best rebounders in the country. But Texas and Rodney Terry went with a bit of a lineup change with Allen out, and he used this a bit on Thursday, too, against Oklahoma State, going with Dylan Dessou and Christian Bishop in the front court together. And why is that important for this matchup against Kansas? Yes, that makes Texas's defense a little bit more vulnerable when it comes to guarding the three, defending the perimeter against a Jayhawks team that can space you out and can play small ball just by nature of having two bigs on the floor defensively for Texas. But this sort of a lineup gave me flashbacks to when Texas Tech, the runner-up, 2019 runner-up in the national title game. I had big number on Texas Tech to win it all that year at 100-1 and a 50-1 ticket too. And they had Tariq Owens and Noren Sodiase, two of the best rim protectors in the country, at least in among high major programs that season. And this team, this sort of a two-headed front court monster with the Sue and Bishop, gives me similar vibes. And yes, I mentioned how Texas's defense can be a bit more vulnerable because of it, but in terms of guarding the three, but at the same time against a small Kansas front court that, yes, has found a little bit of depth there with the freshman Uday off the bench, but still not your typical Jayhawks front court without the likes of David McCormick and some of the great Kansas bigs, Udoka Azubuike. So I do think Texas can find mismatches with those two guys. The big thing, though, is if Marcus Carr, I mean, he's just got to start hitting shots. Like, there's no other way to say it.
He was not good last night. Neither him or Jabari Rice were very good. They offensively, I think Texas hit 2 threes the whole game. It was a tough watch at times. They said Dessou was the game changer last night. I mean, he was the difference in the game.
Right, and we're talking about going into the season. That's what I thought was the biggest issue. I thought that was going to be the biggest problem for Texas's offense was its perimeter floor spacing. And believe it or not, they're second in the conference in terms of Big 12 play and three-point efficiency. So it's been a surprising trend in that sense. And Serge Ibaka Rice, I don't know if any of your listeners have seen him play, but he is one of the best ball fakes in college basketball. It's like watching Jay Wright Villanova teams pump fake and then either drive to the basket or get separation for his shots. So again, I do think Texas wins this game tonight. I'm not super high on Kansas, even though they played well against Iowa State. And that Cyclones team that's a bit fraudulent in its own right, especially offensively. They got a really good matchup in the quarterfinal against Baylor. So long story short, I do think Texas wins tonight, and I would not hedge your future.
Okay. Hey, just real quick, Eli, does Bill Self not being there hurt Kansas, or is it obviously he's going to miss the Big 12 tournament here? Does that do anything for Kansas or affect the sway of the line for you?
Yeah, I was a little more intrigued by that angle on Thursday. I had a 20-1 ticket on West Virginia to win the conference tournament, and obviously that got shredded in the second half when Grady Dick just started hitting three after three, and Kansas was red hot, and they exploited West Virginia's transition defense. But no, I don't think it does. Norm Roberts is an experienced coach in his place. So at this point in the conference tournament, maybe it was a bit more of an angle for me earlier on. We're talking Thursday when the initial health issue came about. But no, I wouldn't say so in the championship game, Joe.
Hey, Eli, we have a whole slew of title games today. There's the ACC. We just mentioned the Big 12. There's Conference USA. There's the MAC. There's the Pac-12. We even talked about the WAC earlier today. We even talked about UMass Lowell in Vermont. Is there any big title game on the list that you have your eye on today with an edge?
Yeah, and I know you guys look at a bunch of different metric sites when it comes to projections. So this one's interesting because UCLA is around a pick against Arizona, -1, -1.5. Again, this on a neutral floor. And the big news coming out late last week, I think the night of Saturday, going back to the latter part of the regular season, the end of the regular season in college basketball, was Jalen Clark being done for the year for the Bruins, the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, arguably the best defensive guard in the country. I think I can make a pretty strong case for that. Leads Mick Cronin's defense. Again, this is one of the better defensive coaches across college basketball, even going back to his days at Cincinnati. So, I mean, that's why the Bearcats were consistently in the NCAA tournament. And looking at this line, because KenPom makes it UCLA -4, and KenPom and these analytics sites, or at least his site in particular, don't necessarily account for injury. So that's something to note for you guys and your listeners, obviously, if you're looking at a KenPom line versus the way the market is pricing this game. But with that being said, I do think this line is still a little bit short, and I know that may come as a bit of a surprise, but I do have UCLA power rated ahead of Arizona despite the Jalen Clark injury. And I don't think the Bruins are going to be able to win a national championship without him, but in terms of the context of this matchup, the way you beat UCLA is you have to shoot threes. And while Arizona could space the floor, this is still a Wildcats team that could struggle with turnovers. They struggle with ball pressure. And even without Clark, who, like I mentioned, is one of the better, if not the best, on or off ball defensive guard in college basketball, Arizona could still get into issues with turnovers, especially with their point guard, Kirk Risa, who's averaging over a 23% turnover clip this season. And that was the same deal with him going back to last year, which is what really held them back against a team like Houston in the Sweet 16 that could pressure the ball like nobody's business. So that line definitely sticks out to me because, again, on the surface level, you say, okay, UCLA is without one of their better players, but at the same time, I still think the Bruins should be power rated ahead of Arizona. And they are slightly according to that line, but I do think they're better than a pick or a point on the neutral floor.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Look, I think this is a team that can get it done without Clark and win the title or at least make a Final Four run. I think they are that talented. Yes, I think that there will be some adjustments that need to be made, but we've seen those adjustments in the second half in both the Oregon and the Colorado games. When they don't have Clark, their adjustments defensively, they've been stellar in both those halves. Eli, before we go, I do want to ask one more. Obviously, ACC final today, Duke, Virginia, another team I have a future on in Virginia. Actually, after the first round, Virginia shot up to +450 to win the tournament, which I thought was an interesting move, the way everything had lined up, especially with them facing Clemson. I have Virginia +450 to win the ACC. Duke's -2, 2.5 today. What are your thoughts on this game? Do you give the Cavaliers a chance here?
Yes. No, I definitely give them a chance. I think this game sets up, because ironically, Duke has a shot to win the conference tournament title, obviously. That's a clear-cut statement. But you go back to the ACC regular season, and I don't know if you guys remember this game. I think it was mid-February where Duke was at Virginia, and you got, I forget what the instant was, whether it was Duke getting a shot off before the buzzer or a foul occurring, I believe, before the final buzzer sounded. And the ref said the foul occurred after the final horn, and Virginia went on to win the game in overtime. Without that win for the Hoos, the Virginia Cavaliers don't wind up with a share of the conference conference regular season title, and they don't wind up with the number two seed in this conference tournament, and maybe things shake out differently for Virginia if they don't get that win in overtime, which is a very fluky win, and I had a regular season future on Virginia to win the ACC. So I got dead heat on that because they tied with Pitt, and at least I got plus 350, even though I betted at plus 700. But I digress about that bet. And looking at this one, I would not hedge that one either. And I'm not saying you would, Dan, but similarly to UCLA and Arizona, Duke, we didn't see it last night, but also Amir for Miami got hurt, and that kind of turned the tide for the Canes a little bit just because of his presence at both ends of the floor. But Duke still with one of the worst turnover percentages in ACC play. And this Virginia team, they don't pressure the ball a ton, but by nature with that vaunted pack line defense that Tony Bennett runs, they're generating the highest turnover rate in conference play. So it's really a mismatch here for Virginia's defense. And losing Vanderplas is a big loss against a Duke defense that you could space out, especially with those bigs when they run out Filipowski and Lively, even though Duke had the fourth rated adjusted defensive efficiency in conference play. And this is one of the better Duke defenses that we've seen in at least a few years. They still have again, you could exploit them a bit because of their youth, especially with Filipowski and Lively in regards to spacing them out. So losing Vanderplas definitely hurts in regards to this matchup and long-term for Virginia, but I do think Virginia's defense is enough here. I'm not super sold on Tyrese Proctor running the point, or at least not having issues in this sort of a matchup and going into the dance. A freshman point guard with his handle, a very loose handle, I don't think it bodes well tonight and moving forward for Duke.
All right, he's Eli Hershkovich. Check him out, thelines.com. They got a ton of stuff on there. I'm looking at your Twitter feed with all your, obviously, some of these bets that tickets that some late night game. We were talking about the Utah State, the game last
Utah
night.
Utah Valley
the
game.
Utah Valley game last night as well. That was
what a way to lose.
Wow. it's been wild, man. It's going to be wild. Tomorrow's Selection Sunday. And Eli, we're going to talk to you next week, man. We're going to know the bracket. We're going to know everything. And people are going to love the bet next Saturday and Sunday. I think that those are the biggest days. I know people love to bet while at work on Thursday and Friday, but those Saturdays and Sundays, that's when we get maybe a Cinderella sneaks in there.
I'm gonna have to tell my wife to suck it up.
We'll have an update on the Selection Sunday baby shower presented by the Lift Shats. So we'll have that sponsored by thelines.com too, of course. So
I'll make sure to get a banner up there. Lines.com.
Yeah, the lines on. We'll give them diapers that say that. All right, Leela, I appreciate you the time, man, and best of luck. Great job. And again, all our listeners, go to thelines.com. Eli's got everything covered for you over there. Appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
That's what I do for you guys. Now, I'm a producer for you guys. I provide you guys some content.
This is what we want.
The show.
This is exactly what we have. Everyone's, hey, what do you guys like here? We're like, hey, wait, we got Eli coming on at 8:20 today. So I'm glad we were able to touch on everything, man. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, Eli. That's Eli Hershkovich, thelines.com. They got great stuff over there, and they got some promo codes, too, if you want to go check those out.
So. My wife texted me that she has beef with Eli now.
I got, see? I always play the right side. I didn't even bring it up. How about that? I didn't even bring it up. Although we did get Dan a gift, and your wife a gift. So
lovely.
Yeah, you guys will laugh.
Okay.
So, all right, we got to go to break. Sorry. Listen to 98.5 this morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final segment here at 98.5 The Sports. Up. I did wanted to just get into the number one pick moved in the NFL draft. I think it's a haul, but at the same time, you got to do it. And so right now the Carolina Panthers are on the clock. They're on the clock.
Yes.
So they give up the number 9 overall pick, number 61, a first rounder next year, and then a second rounder in 2025, along with DJ Moore. It's a lot. But what would Carolina have done here? Stick with Matt Corral? Like, you know, like, do they go back to Sam Darnold?
Well, I think they wanted Derek Carr. I don't think that worked out. I think that would have been a pretty obvious choice for them. I think there probably would have been some residual availability for some other quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, et cetera, but clearly they did not want to go in that direction. So they're going in the rebuild direction, which is fine, but the 2024 first-round pick, I mean, that's going to be a top-10 first-round pick. So in my opinion, they're essentially giving up two top-10 firsts. Now, people are saying the package is a little bit light. I disagree because I don't think the Panthers are going to be very good next year. Regardless of whether or not they're trying to tank, I think that, you know, you're going to have a rookie quarterback. You have no true number one wide receiver now. Even if you go out and spend money, your team is still not very good. I think they get two top 10 firsts. I think that because of that, it's not as light as people think it is. So,
So as far as the odds go.
Yes.
This is what I threw in
major move.
Yeah, this is what I threw in the email today is that if you look at it, the lines originally had Bryce Young as the favorite for the number one pick, followed by C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. Now that the trade has happened, C.J. Stroud is a huge favorite.
Yeah, minus 350 on DraftKings right now, and it was even higher earlier.
So Stroud looks to be the number one pick going to Carolina.
So I disagree with that, by the way. But yeah,
no, for real. Go on. So I don't know. In my opinion, I liked what Bryce Young was. I think Richardson has a ceiling, but I think he has accuracy issues. You remember that Utah game, beginning of the year? Was it Utah that they beat game one?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, this guy was on. I knew who he was because he beat out Emory Jones a year ago. But that game in particular, I went, whoa, this guy's. And Dan, I know he's got accuracy issues. And I know he wasn't great at times either. So I personally don't love Anthony Richardson, but is he a freak athlete that I think could potentially have, get there? Yes. But would I take the number one pick on him? Absolutely not.
So I think Richardson's going to be the pick.
Number one, huh?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the pick. Think about it like this. What way is the league moving? Are we moving towards a C.J. Stroud who's more of a, he can be mobile at times, more of a pocket passer, or are we moving towards a athletic freak who needs to just find ways to get the ball out and runs out of the pocket and et cetera. And I think if you put NFL talent around Anthony Richardson, I'm really interested to see what he does. He reminds me very much of Justin Fields. I think Fields was a significantly better passer in college, but I'd say that Fields has probably regressed in the NFL. The reality is he's regressed. So the way he's passing, the way he's playing, they've changed a completely different type of player now in the NFL. I think if you're the Panthers and you're looking at what the future is, it's Anthony Richardson, not C.J. Stroud. Now, their quarterback coach, Josh McCown, absolutely loves C.J. Stroud. The rumors are that it's very split between the owner right now, that the owner wants Bryce Young and the general manager wants C.J. Stroud. I'd say let's hold off on that. It's very early still in the process. It's March 11th. Usually you won't start really finding out real information on the draft until a couple weeks from now. And then, of course, you got to sift through what's real, what's not. I ultimately think it's going to be Anthony Richardson. I think Richardson is the type of player you move up for. He's Cam Newton. He's Justin Fields. He's the type of guy now that teams are looking at. He's Josh Allen, right? Like, those are the type of players that he's most comparable to. That's the reality of the situation. And C.J. Stroud is not Patrick Mahomes. C.J. Stroud is a different type of player. So I think that they're going to go with Richardson. I'm not saying it's the right decision.
Wow.
I'm merely saying that's who I think they're going to go
with. It will give them buzz. It will. I don't know.
And by the way, I have a Richardson 50-1 ticket to go first overall. So
wow,
I would love that to happen.
Listen, how many number one picks have we seen get drafted and haven't worked, and then obviously some have. So if they do it, it's just because they believe in the
guy. This has nothing to do with whether or not I think Richardson will be a good NFL quarterback. This has to do with what teams are now looking for in their prototypical type quarterbacks, and I think it's not Bryce Young. He's too small. I think Will Levis is a great, fun prospect, but I ultimately think he'll be ruled out. I think C.J. Stroud is probably the guy that I would take personally, but I think Richardson is the guy that everyone now in the NFL gets excited about, guys like Anthony Richardson. I think Richardson won't make it past 4 or 5 in the draft at least. So that's the way I would look at it.
So just looking at the draft order right now, Dan, I'm going to stick by this take, but I think all four quarterbacks go in the top four. And here's
top
where
four.
Yeah, so here's why. Here's why I think. So Carolina's made the trade. Houston's on the clock.
Yeah.
I don't know if they select a quarterback.
I think they're going to take Bryce Young.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
So let's go with it. You're saying Richardson, Young.
Yep.
I think Arizona trades down. They need to get better. They want to go with Kyler Murray. They're locked to him. He's not going to play early on, but I think they trade down. It makes sense. Will somebody leapfrog Arizona? Leapfrog the Colts to get to Arizona? And I think there are a few teams that may. And number one, I'm looking at the Vegas Raiders. Could they leapfrog, trade with Arizona, and get the three? Now, it's either what? Will Levis, right? Who would be the fourth quarterback? You got Levis. Oh, Richardson. So it would be Stroud, Young, Richardson, Levis. In your case, it would be Richardson, Young, Stroud would be right there at number three.
I don't have a solid answer on that.
So I want to wait next week. Let's look at that. I want to bet four quarterbacks in the first round.
Not going to be an available option for you. It's gonna take a little bit to be out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I want to take that. Got it. I think that somehow it's either the Colts have to swap with the Cardinals, or someone's going to leapfrog the Colts to the Cardinals. I think it's the Raiders.
Okay.
And I think all four quarterbacks, Richardson, Levis, Young, Stroud, all go four in a row.
Okay, to finish up, I haven't given out a single play today, so let me change.
Ring it.
I'm going to take Cincinnati plus 10 against Houston. I'm sorry. I rewatched that ECU game. This Houston team is just not nearly as good as people are saying they are. 10 points too many for Cincinnati. I made the game 8, so give me Cincy plus 10. I just think that this is a basket too much there. And then I'm going to go really simple here, and I'm going to go with what Eli said. I like UCLA. Give me UCLA to pick them. I just think, again, I'm still very high on this UCLA team. I don't care. I know the loss of Clark is huge, but I still think this team is significantly better than Arizona. I think they're going to be able to put on another second half display, and I think they pull away today. I'm going with 2 picks. That's it.
All right. So I've already given out one of them earlier today. I think Virginia's the side. I don't love it, Dan, but I like Virginia today. Ring the bell. And that's at what?
+2.5.
Virginia +2.5. And this, it's championship. It's championship. I think we should start it off a little early today. What was your side on the total in that? 141 was the UMass Lowell, Vermont?
Yes.
11 a.m. tip-off? Does that usually mean under?
Under 142. Ring the bell. Don't be scared. Ring the bell.
All right. Give me the under. Man, I really, 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 really wanted to take Ohio State, but I just can't. I can't do it. I think they're going to run out of gas.
I can't do it either.
I think they're just going to run
out of gas. If I would tell you, if you're betting that game, try and get a live.
How about this? How about San Diego State, Utah State?
I lean San Diego State in that one, but that's a no play. I have a future on San Diego State to also win. I took a lot of favorites. I took a few long shots. I do Missouri 25-1, which is nice, but I think that ends today. But I took some, you know, pretty big favorites here because no favorites won last year. So I have San Diego State. I think they get it done today. Utah State played that was a battle last night, and I just think San Diego State just has a little bit of an easier path.
All right, one more. Give me UC Santa Barbara -2.5. Boom, boom to beat Cal State Fullerton, and they're going to go dancing.
What is this?
UC Santa Barbara. Boom.
Okay.
All right, that's it for me. I should slow down. Just like everyone else should. It's mobile weekend. It's just been 2 days. It's been hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
I may post something on Twitter today.
Yeah, we'll watch the Twitter. It's gonna be fire
second
today.
Half, but we'll see. Yesterday, Maryland screwed me. So I'm not happy about that.
Yep. So. All right, we got to get out of here. We got the hockey show coming up next. They're going to break down today's game again. The Bruins, big favorites, -375, the puck line, -1.5 for that one. Kyle Fabrizio, thank you, sir. James Stewart, thank you as well. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, home of the Bruins, Patriots, Rams, and Celtics.
To the corner, fall away three.
Got it!
Boston's home for sports is D5, the Sports Hub. A Beasley Media Group station.
Devin McCourty has announced his retirement. The 3-time All-Pro played all 13 seasons with the Patriots. He someday will get a red jacket. The Patriots did make some moves yesterday, though. They released punter Jake Bailey. They also signed linebacker Raekwon McMillan. Some other NFL news. The number one pick has been moved. Carolina officially on the clock. They sent picks number 961, a first-round pick in 24, a second-round pick in 2025, in DJ Moore to the Bears. The Dolphins also picked up Tua Tagovailoa's fifth-year option. Bruins, they're back in action today. They lost to Edmonton the other night. They take on Detroit today. All the coverage here on the Sports Hub begins at 12:30 with the puck drop at 1 p.m. The Celtics, they begin a 6-game road trip in Atlanta. The Hawks with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.